Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Well, over the past week here in Drive Time, we've been hearing from listeners who have fallen for text-based phone scams. As I discovered myself, anyone can fall for these increasingly sophisticated frauds. And we're going to end the week now getting some much-needed advice from Detective Superintendent Michael Crine from the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau. And you're very welcome, Michael, to the programme this evening. I suppose before we start on specifics, you might firstly give us a broad example of the scale of the problem at this stage in Ireland.
Yeah, good evening, Sarah, and thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to get this message out and to raise awareness among the public, because we do find that when we do these campaigns that the message does get through to people and less people are becoming victims of these type of scams. The good news, shall we say, from the start is that this type of crime is dropping, admittedly from very high levels in 2020 and 21-22. For the first 4 months of the year, these type of crimes are down about 28%. While there is a large increase in the amount of people receiving these text messages, and many text messages and calls also, the amount of people who are losing money is down considerably, which is good news because it shows that the message is getting out there, that more and more people are aware of this type of problem.
Okay, so more texts are being received, but fewer people are falling for them. That is obviously positive.
That appears to be the case, yes. Yeah.
In terms of the amount of money that's being lost, what do we know?
It's hard to give. The estimate for the first four months of this year will be in and around 3 million reported stolen. But again, some of this is reported late. Some people, unfortunately, don't report. So it's difficult to put a figure this early, but in and around those figures, which is broadly in line with possibly last year. While less people are losing money, shall we say, they may be losing bigger sums, though, unfortunately.
So that might be the tip of the iceberg, maybe, or at least an underestimation.
Yes, unfortunately, in these type of cyber-enabled crimes, there is an underreporting. There's a lot of people they feel a bit embarrassed about reporting it. They also may feel, what's the point? What can the Gardaí do about it? But unless people report it, we don't know the extent of the problem. And we have had a lot of successes, and we've had a lot of arrests and prosecutions, and a lot of what we call money mules are being arrested and prosecuted for money laundering. And the money mule is the critical part of these type of frauds, because when the fraudster steals the money from or transfers the money out of the victim's account, they must transfer it to what is known as a money mule account in order for them to cash it out. Otherwise, they have to use their own accounts, which will lead to their own identification and arrest.
Okay, so I didn't realise there was like a third party involved then as a result of that. So on that point then, as you say, a lot of people might not report to Gardaí because they're embarrassed, but also because they think there's not a whole lot guards can do. Are they right about that? Is there a lot Gardaí can do?
There is a lot we can do with how we trace the money. And we trace the money can be traced in a money mule account, and then from the money mule, the people who recruited them can be traced and identified and up the line as they go. And quite a number of people have been arrested by the Garda National Immigration Bureau and by local units all over the country in the last 2-3 years, who are the people who are recruiting the money mules. While the money mules are being prosecuted and arrested and prosecuted, the people higher up the level, shall we say, are being arrested as well.
I know there's this sort of mantra going around, which in a lot of cases is true, which is never to click on a link in a text message, and or in an email, I think is also one of the pieces of advice. And I think, as you say, people are getting a lot more wise to that. And unless they're distracted, like I was, you know, which is no excuse. But anyway, they don't click on links in text messages. But then there are instances, Michael, where people do send out text messages that are real, you know, like when I was speaking about my own situation, I think that was last week now at this stage, I was making the point that the day before I got the eFlow text message was a scam message. I got a text from the holiday operator I'm going on holidays with this summer asking me to pay the balance of the holiday, and they had included a link, which was the correct link, you know, when I went and I paid it. I hope that was the correct link. This receptor occurring to me right now. I'll have to go check that when I come off air. But I'm assuming it was the correct link. So how do you know is what I'm wondering.
It can be very difficult. And at the moment, I would probably fix them into six broad categories of these type of text messages that people can receive. The ultimate aim of the fraudster is always the same. They want to get your data. They want to steal your money. That's what they want to do. Mm. And the advice we would always give is the links. You know, don't click on the links, but also you don't give away your personal data. You don't give away your PIN numbers, your credit card numbers, your passwords, even things like your PPS numbers, your air codes.
Yeah,
all of personal data.
Don't ever give that, because we had quite a few text messages from people yesterday when we were discussing a Revolut scam, saying that Revolut had contacted them in inverted commas asking for their PPS number. So you would say, yes. Don't respond to that.
Absolutely. And that is a new type. That's one of the new six that's going around at the moment. Another one is one where you will receive a text claiming this is your child, this is your favorite child or your firstborn child or your youngest child.
Yeah.
And they've lost their phone and this is my new best friend and please Revolut me money. And again, our advice for that is very simple. Don't impulsively respond. Ring your child. Or ring somebody who is with them, or even text the person to, you know, ask them a question that only your child would know the answer of. You know, even what's my name? You know, something like that. And pretty soon you'll realize that the person contacting you is not your child. But the important thing with all of these is don't be bounced into it. Don't jump into it. Don't act hastily. If in any doubt, even talk to somebody, ask somebody, hang up, ring back the number. All of the time what has been used is what is known as a spoofed number or a VOP, a voice over the internet protocol, and you cannot ring the number back. If it's a spoofed number, you cannot ring it back. So you ring, it look on your phone as if it's the number for, shall we say, your bank.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's spoofed to look that way. It's a service provided by criminals. And there was a very good operation run all the way across Europe before Christmas where a website was taken down, and in the months after it, those type of calls dropped by 90% here in Ireland. So it shows what can be done and what is being done when we work together with police forces across Europe, across the world, and also with the banks as well, and with the service provider.
Yeah, and the service providers. What about the mobile phone operators? Could they or should they be doing more, Michael, do you think?
Again, this is something we are working with, and we have had a lot of meetings with the phone providers. It's not easy. It's not easy to stop these services because on a lot of occasions, it's not, as I said, they're voice over the internet as well. They're what's known as VOPs as well. So it is something that is being worked on and is being looked at, and there are working groups all over Europe and all over the world. These are not particular problems to Ireland. These are every country in the world, unfortunately, are seeing these problems over the last number of years in relation to these type of scams.
All right. Well, I'm off to check that I actually did pay for my holiday last week. But that's some really good advice, Mian. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Detective Superintendent Michael Crine from the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau.